Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
You know something we don't believe in here at Real Ghost Stories Online? Leaving you guys without fresh episodes, and we have to go away for something. So what we've done when we go away is try to create as compelling of episodes as we can for the days that we're not available. Sometimes it's best of, but other days we're able to create more interesting things, like the Richard in Chattanooga episode where we kind of did a retrospective on that whole story with new commentary, new review, new thoughts on it. That's what today's episode is. Today's episode is going to be filled with calls, some very interesting calls from all different people, some of our better ones from the past past year or so here at Real Ghost Stories Online, and then new commentary between the calls. Yes, so we're going to take another look, you know, with the new knowledge that we've gained, the new experiences and new outlooks that we're able to gain by listening to the show and doing this show, and maybe putting a new spin or a fresh thought or two on some of these calls. So it's pretty much like a new episode for you today, because believe it or not, we are human and we do need to take breaks every now and then to kind of recoup and refresh ourselves. But I don't want to just give you best ofs every time that we have to go away for a couple of days. So this is today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, loaded with some great calls for you to take a listen to and enjoy. And of course, you can call in any time to the show, even when we're not here. 855-853-4802 is our toll-free number to call in and leave your real ghost story for us. Of course, you can also write in as well at realghoststoriesonline.com. And maybe you're not an EPP member yet. If you're not, well, I tell you right there, that is loaded with gobs and gobs of new episodes, brand new episodes for you if you're not an EPP. There's more than like 35 of them there, more than that, many more than that, for you to consume. So sign up if you want some of those at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. That helps keep our show on the air. Only $5 a month. You get to all those bonus episodes, so you can use on days when we're on a vacation, or you can just binge, which I know a lot of folks do. They sit there on the weekends and go, okay, all Saturday and Sunday, all I do is listen to Real Ghost Stories Online, and we thank you for that. That's pretty awesome. So anyhow, check that out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Some exclusive video up there for you as well. To kick off today's episode, let's go to this caller and take a listen to this ghost story.
Hey, Tony, Jenny, it's Scott from Portland again. I wanted to tell you guys a story that sort of explains part of the reason why I haven't been active on the forum the past couple of days, so the message boards, because it just recently happened. And well, I'm guess that I had to learn the hard way that sometimes there are things that you just don't do. Recently, I was reading in some of the many books that I have about different paranormal things, and I read about this concept of a mirror that you could use to sort of look at spirits, sort of like the concept of the Bloody Mary thing, where, you know, you can look into the mirror and then, like, you know, just stare long enough, eventually you can see things or whatever. And I thought, hey, you know what, you know, if I do this right, maybe I could, you know, see something, which the lesson that I had to learn the hard way was that's stupid. It's like a Ouija board, like, why do it? But anyway, this did just happen. This was on Friday night, and it's Tuesday morning right now, or it's Wednesday morning right now, sorry. So this was just a few nights ago. Anyway, so I got this mirror, went and bought this glass, and I put this thing behind it to make it mirror-like, and I wrote, like, the names of angels around it, like I was supposed to, and then stuff so that I could protect myself from whatever was going to show itself or whatnot. Anyway, to make a long story short, I sat in a dark room with candles, just staring at this mirror, and eventually something did, in fact, appear there in the mirror. And it's hard to explain and describe, but essentially my face and its face became the same face, which is kind of creepy and terrifying in and of itself. But at the time, I didn't think anything was wrong. I just thought, hey, cool, it worked. I get to see something. And there was just something looking back at me. And anyway, that's creepy looking back on it. I wasn't scared then. But the reason why I say I had to learn the hard way is because what happened was, this was Friday, early in the day, because I work at night. So anyway, on Friday night, around 9 p.m., I finished eating dinner, and I was, you know, getting ready to go to sleep because I work early on Saturday morning, and all of a sudden I get extremely dizzy. I mean extremely, extremely dizzy. And I, like, everything just seemed to just, everything just was spinning to the right. Like, when you spin around in a chair really fast for a while and then you stop and everything still keeps spinning, it was like that. So much that that I got extremely nauseous. And when I tried to, like, correct myself and lean to the left to make it stop, everything just started spinning to the left. And I eventually ended up sort of crawling into the bathroom so that I didn't vomit all over my house. But my mom, fortunately, was around, and she left to go get stuff to find out what was wrong with me, to get, like, a thermometer, to get, like, things that weren't there. And I just lay there on the floor in the bathroom, and I couldn't figure out why I'd suddenly gotten really sick, and I was shaking, and I was dizzy, and I was sweating. And anyway, the thought came to my mind, like, the remembering of the image, and remembering the image kind of smiled at me at the end. And then I realized that my mistake was playing with power that I shouldn't have played with. So I said a prayer, I said a couple of other things, and then I got up, I forced myself up off the floor, I went into my room, and I grabbed that mirror off my wall, because I had it just sort of placed on my wall. I took it, and I brought it outside, I broke it into pieces, and I threw it away. And after I did that, everything got better. I was not dizzy anymore. I could walk, I could breathe. I kept having small fits of it, but eventually it was all right. I went to the hospital on Saturday to find out what was wrong with me, and they couldn't find anything physically wrong with me. My blood sugar was fine. My blood pressure was fine. They gave me some anti-vertigo medication, but I've only taken it for a few days, and I'm already totally fine. So I can't explain it other than the mirror. And so that's my story. And the moral of my story is, just don't mess with it. And that's it. That's really all that I need to say. If you find a Ouija board in your garage, throw it away. If you find some kind of cool thing that, you know, it's supposed to do something like show you spirits, or it's supposed to tell you when they're there, just get rid of it. I've deleted all of the things off my phone, like the ghost radar stuff, because I had to learn that lesson, and I wanted to share that with you guys. I'm okay. I haven't seen anything in any of the mirrors around my house, so that seems to be fine. And after I destroyed that mirror, I haven't had anything. I haven't even had those night terror things, just waking up in the middle of the night having something in my room. I haven't had any of those either, so hopefully everything's fine. But anyway, lesson to the listeners out there is, just say no. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the show.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. Very interesting. We were talking about mirrors all not that long ago here on the show, Real Ghost Stories Online. And you know, and Jenny has a bit of a fear of them, if you will, or old ones, and the thought of what they could contain. I don't know if it's, personally, if it's something that they are so much containing from what they've seen, as that it's more of a conduit as to what it can bring out. That's my own personal thought on it. This is just me. I do believe some objects can hold energies and such. I don't know that a mirror is necessarily going to hold more so than an old rocking chair, if you will, where Could a mirror in itself be haunted? Sure. But by nature of it just simply being a mirror, I don't think just by nature of that in itself. I view it kind of like a Ouija board, if you will. Sometimes if used improperly, it can do some harm, as we just heard in that specific story there. It's interesting. I remember all the times as a kid. Remember when you go to like a department store and they'd have the mirrors out for looking at clothing? And it would be like the 8-way directional mirror, and it would just continue to reflect and reflect and reflect and reflect. I wonder how many times people saw anything strange in there. I always would like try and move my arms around thinking, oh, maybe one of the further out reflections will take longer to move. Of course, that never was the case, but could you imagine if it was? If suddenly you realized, oh, well, the reflection of me way back there seems to have the wrong hand up. What's going on? I don't know. Interesting stuff, because, I mean, those were common, you know, the multi-reflective directional mirrors. That was in, you know, pretty much every clothing store I remember in the 80s. I don't so much see them anymore, but I wonder if that would have been a conduit for anything like that in that setting there. Our number, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. How are y'all? This is Bo again. I called y'all, like, a little while ago about how me and you, Tony, had the same experience about, you know, our sleep paralysis and things like that. And I told y'all I'd be calling in with my tarot cards story. So hopefully I'll be able to get it in within the amount of time that we have. If not, then please, you know, I'd love to give you a whole show over what have happened to me. Actually, this experience lasted for about 7 years or so. So I guess I'll start off at the beginning. You know, I was about 13 or so, and I was just, I was just fumbling around in my closet, and I came across this little yellow box, and it looked like tarot cards. And, you know, being that age and stuff like that, I really didn't know, like, the dangers that come with them or anything that come with it. I was just seen in movies that would be like, oh, these tell your fortune, things like that. So me being curious, I was like, I wonder if these actually work. So I'm just sitting down in my front room, and I'm playing with these tarot cards, and, you know, you got to shuffle them, and then you've got your past, present, future, and everything like that, and just kind of like what I've seen from movies and things like that, nothing that I really knew about, and, you know. And it was all working. I was like, wow, cool. These actually work. You know, this is weird. So after I get done playing them, I just put them back in the box, and I put them in my closet, and I just leave them alone, stuff like that. And, you know, some time goes by, and I forget that they're actually in there. And so, like, stuff started happening. Like just in my room, just this heavy feeling you would get, like, just... It'd be weird. Like, anytime I closed my eyes to go to sleep, I would get these weird images of, like, maggots in people's face, like decaying bodies or skulls and things like that. Like, really, really bad and disturbing images. And this would happen years, like, day after day. Every time I'd go to bed, I'd have these images. So what I started, and no noise or anything like that, and, like, it would just, like, just the silence and everything like that, just, it was terrible. And so what I did to kind of help me with that is I started, you know, listening to, like a podcast or a DVD commentary, things like that. Like, I needed noise, and I would help kind of drown out those images in my head. And you would get, like, my door would close a lot. Like, I'd leave it open, and then all of a sudden it would close, and then, like, I would kind of not think of it. If anything, I'd try and think of it as maybe the door off the hit are off on the hinges. And, you know, that's what I kind of did, and I just processed that in my mind that that's what it was. And one time I was in the bathroom, I was going to the bathroom doing my business, and we had a coat hanger hanging from kind of like a like a towel rack or like something that you put like towels or like robes or something like that. Well, the coat hanger was just kind of sitting there, sit still. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see the thing start turning, you know, back and forth slowly. And I'm watching this coat hanger move back and forth, like not swinging them down, but moving, like not swinging, but like slowly moving. And then it would stop. And then it would start again. And so, suffice to say, I was kind of freaked out at that point. And so I kind of just, you know, got up and get out of there and, you know, went on with my business. Another night I was sitting there in the front room and we had our couch facing, I mean, the back of it would be facing the kitchen. And so I had the lights on in the front room. And so all the lights off of the house, and because I've had, you know, sleep problems and night owl and things like that, I would stay up late. And so I'm watching a movie that I know for a fact, like through and through, like this whole thing. And, you know, I'm just sitting there kind of trying to, you know, watch TV and, you know, relax. And all of a sudden, behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?" And I kind of just, like, I kind of, like, chill ran down my entire body. And I kind of just sit there, I'm like, holy crap, are you for real right now? And so, you know, I did what any typical, like, teen would, like, I was about a teen now, but, you know, what a kid would do is, I grabbed a blanket and I just sat on the couch, you know, thinking, like, knowing that the blanket was going to protect me, and just kind of waited there, and I eventually fell asleep. But, like, I slept with the lights on, like, there was no way I was going to, you know, go anywhere. And some of the things that would happen, like, throughout the entire, like, throughout, like, almost every night is, we had a hallway where it would split up. You could either go straight down the hallway and you would get our front door, or it would veer off to the left. It would go to the left, and that's where all the bedrooms are. Well, looking down this hallway, you could see the front door, and you would hear just a slight knocking, like a constant, like, knocking, but not on the door, in like if it was in the ceiling, but in the corner of the, like, corner of the door where the door met the ceiling or the wall met the ceiling, you would just hear a constant knocking, just knock, 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 knock. Like, it was creepy and scary. And, you know, I did the typical thing, like, you weren't supposed to do in any horror movie, is I was in the front room with the light on, and I could see it. And I could see it, and I looked down the hallway, but, you know, the knocking would get a little bit more intense, you know, a little bit more rapid. And so I didn't go anywhere near there. I kind of just stayed in the front room and tried to forget about it. But, like, every so often you would, like, at least once a week, you would just hear that knocking going on. And it would just be crazy. And one time I was going down the hallway in the middle of the day. I went to my parents' room, and I went in there, and I saw this silhouette of a woman in white, which freaked me out. I didn't really process it in my head until after it passed me. And when I went to turn around to look at it, and as the time it would take from to walk past me to the bedroom door, the door shook as if it, like, walked past, like, through the door, and it kind of, like, it jiggled the whole door with it. And what scared me is that my door did that a lot, would be when I was laying down or just in my room, like, I'd hear that door jiggle a whole lot, and I tried to think of it as, like, the AC going and everything like that, like, just starting up, and it just kind of shook the wall or the door. But ever since that moment, I knew that what that door shaking sound was is something walking in and out of my room. It wouldn't open the door, but you would hear the door rattle through there, and it actually shaking a lot reliving this because it's one of those things where it just tormented me for years, and I'm trying to, you know, deal with it and cope with it because you can't live in fear of it. You can't let it own you. You gotta, you know, talk about it and show no fear to it because, you know, it's the only way to get over it. But, you know, eventually, I moved out of that room and we have a guest house and I started to live in there. And my littlest brother went into that room and I started noticing that he was sleeping in the front room a lot. And it was concerning me because I'm the older brother, you know, I gotta protect him and everything like that. And so I started thinking, like, what is going on? Because I knew there was something wrong with my room. And it's now affecting him. And so I was just sitting there thinking, like, what could be in this room? What could be in my room that is causing this? And I start to think, and all of a sudden it hit me. Holy crap, I have those tarot cards in there that I messed with. And I'm starting to freak out because I'm like, holy crap, that makes all kinds of sense that I've had these tarot cards, these things that have just been in my closet this entire time. This has to be what's causing it. And so luckily I have a really good friend, and his dad studies demonology. My friend's actually been on a few exorcisms with his dad, and his dad is actually blessed with, you know, some sort of divine sight to where he can see these things and he knows where they are and he knows how to deal with them and everything like that. So I ask him, you know, can you take these cards off my hand, properly disposed of? And so he said, yeah. And I grabbed those cards and I've never been more scared than right there driving to work, because you could just feel this energy on these cards. And, you know, I really thought that driving to work, I would, you know, these things might cause a wreck, you know, cause me to wreck just so these things don't, like, disappear or get out of my sight or whatever happened to them. I was honestly really scared that these things were going to do harm to me, to make sure that they either stay in my possession or stay out of the possession of my friend's dad. And luckily I made it there safe. I gave him the cards and he held them, and he's just like, he could feel the energy on too. He could feel this weight to these cards. And so he ended up giving them to his dad. And I asked him, you know, a week later, I asked him if his dad took care of it. And he said, yeah. And, you know, curiosity getting the better of me, I'm like, what were all those cards? And he said, his dad wouldn't even tell him what were on those cards. It was something so bad that he didn't even tell his son what was connected to these cards.
What a haunting story that is. I mean, my goodness. I mean, all the things that occurred within that story. And I think the most disturbing thing at the end was learning about the individual, the father who was involved with exorcisms, knew about it, knew how to do it. I'd be interested in knowing what his position was or what experience he had in that. But the fact that he was fairly knowledgeable on it and was so distraught by what was represented on those cards or what those cards contained, really just very, very spooky. That was, I think, one of the spookiest ones that I can remember from the last year. On the show. Our phone number, of course, is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it here at Real Ghost Stories Online because, well, that's kind of what we do. We share ghost stories, believe it or not. So if you have one, please give us a call and share it, and we'll get it on a future episode of the show. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Sam from Georgia. I've actually called in before about the apartment that I currently live in with my boyfriend and our roommate, where things just keep happening, like lights being turned on overnight when none of us had even been awake. My boyfriend saw an apparition in the middle of the night one night. Well, some more things have happened just in the last few days. There was one night where I kept hearing footsteps inside the apartment and no one was home but me and my boyfriend. We were both in the bed. So the next morning I said something to him about it, and he said, yeah, I hear that all the time. Well, one wall of my bedroom shares a wall with the hallway right outside the apartment. So when people are walking in the hallway, you can hear it, but this, you can distinguish the sound between somebody inside the apartment and somebody outside in the hallway. It's just a different noise. So this just happened last night. We were the only ones home, me and my boyfriend. My roommate and another one of his friends were out and about drinking, whatever. Well, me and my boyfriend were laying in bed watching TV, and I heard the front door open, and then I heard male voices. I mean, it was obviously men talking, and it sounded like it was coming from right outside my bedroom door, which is the living room. So I figured that my roommate and our friend was home. Well, I walked out the door, and there was nobody in the apartment. Nobody was there. All the lights were off. I didn't see anything. They had not gotten home yet. So I just got right back into bed and watched TV until I fell asleep. I just tried to ignore it as best as I could. This next thing just happened about a half an hour ago. So I'm home alone. I'm sitting on my bedroom floor watching TV, and I decided to change clothes. I just wanted to change into some sweats. So my bedroom door is open because I was the only one home, whatever. So I take off my jeans, and I'm looking for my sweatpants, and I start hearing like a clanking or a clicking noise coming from right outside my bedroom door, which, like I said, was open. So I put on my sweats, and I look out the door into the living room, and we have a ceiling fan that has really long chains, like the pull chains, to turn them on and off because our ceilings are really, really high. Like, if you were walking through the living room, you would run into them if you weren't paying attention. So I put on my clothes, and I walk out my bedroom door into the living room, and those pull chains were swinging around, like they were moving, like somebody had walked into them. So the clanking that I was hearing was them hitting each other. I checked the windows. I checked everything. There was no air movement in the apartment at all. So I don't know who it was, what it was. I don't know. Maybe I've got kind of a pervert ghost in my apartment that just likes watch me change, so that kind of creeps me out. Well, that's all I have for now. If anything else happens, I will be sure to call back. Things just seem to happen in this apartment all the time, because like I said, just when I called before, it's been, you know, an elementary school, and then a high school, and then it was a reform school, and this building is, I don't even know how old it is. That's all I know about it. So who knows what's in this apartment? If anything else happens, I will be sure to call back. I love you guys very much. You guys have an awesome show. And thank you so much for all the hard work that you do. And hopefully I will be calling back in soon. All right, thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. There's nothing more, I guess, disturbing. Well, there is more things that are disturbing, but it's one of the more disturbing things when you have the ghost, you know, that is sitting there watching you when you're changing. It's like right there, you know, it's like the shower is this in the same ballpark for me. It's like you're in such a vulnerable state. That's the last thing you want. I mean, number one, a human being that you don't know showing up, but if you have something completely unexplained or undead also there, that takes it up just a notch. As well, so I understand being distraught. Thank you for calling in and sharing this story. Always interesting when we get calls and stories from folks that are having the things happening to them almost at that time. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. By the way, if you'd like some brand new episodes of the show to listen to, like a whole bunch of them, like 30, 40 episodes or so, become an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. You sign up for that on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. You get all those bonus episodes, brand new bonus one every week as well. That's our way of saying thank you for supporting the show and keeping us on the air. Without your financial support, the show really could not go on. And as the show grows by leaps and bounds every single week, our costs of producing and distributing the show go up by leaps and bounds as well. So that is why we ask that of you. And we want to give you something in exchange, not just, hey, you're paying for the show that's free. Here's something extra. And we greatly, greatly appreciate our EPPs. You'll love being an EPP. Those shows are awesome. Some really creepy stuff there. And they're full episodes. Jenny's on them. It's just good stuff. So if you like the show, consider supporting it, helping to keep us on the air. And get yourself a whole bunch of free, extra, awesome episodes. No, they're not free. Those ones you do have to pay for. But awesome extra episodes for only $5 a month. The cost of a cup of coffee. You get all that stuff. And the satisfaction of knowing you're keeping our show in the air. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Good evening. I hope this phone call finds you well and in good spirits. No pun intended. I've worked in a old family-owned factory for 32 years. I'm the night shift supervisor, and I work very late into the mornings, usually 4 or 5 a.m. I've experienced a lot of poltergeist activity, and I'll tell you this one, and maybe in the future I'll send a few others along. On one particular evening, I was at my desk, and my desk is in the office, which is very busy during the day, but at night I'm the only guy in here, and my desk looks out over the factory floor. Well, I was making some signs, and we have a machine in the office where it seals them in plastic, and so I created this sign on my computer, and I took it up to the machine that seals it in the hard plastic, and you have to turn the machine on and let it warm up, and it takes about 15 minutes. So I laid my document on the table next to the machine, and flipped the switch on, and the red light comes on, and when the machine heats up and it's ready to go, the light will go out. Well, my experience told me that I had about 15 minutes, so I was going to go back to my desk, which was about 50 feet down the hall, and let it warm up. So I go back to my desk and do a few things, and after about 15 minutes, I go back, and I got there, and my document was gone. And I couldn't believe it, because I laid it real nice and neat right next to the machine. It's, it was laid out ready to go. I know I left it there. So I look under the machine. It's on the table, four-legged table. I look around the machine, look behind it. Nowhere to be found. So I'm thinking, well, I'm kind of losing my mind, or we get forgetful in our old age. So I said, well, I must have left it on my desk. So I go back up the hallway to my desk, and I look around my desk, and it's not on my desk. It's not in my drawers, not under my desk. So I'm thinking, I'm starting to get a little hacked off about this, because I know, what I did with the paper. So I'm thinking, well, I must have dropped it on the way up the hallway to the machine. So I get up again, and I look, and I trace every step back to the machine. I look in the hallway, I look in the doorways, I look anywhere that I could have dropped it. And this is a big white sheet of paper, regular size sheet of paper, big black type on it. nowhere to be found. I walk all the way back to the room where the machine is, and not there. Again, I look under, around, behind, everywhere in this place for this piece of paper. So I said, well, that's it. You know, I'm tired of looking for it. I'm going to go back to my office. I'm going to make this new document. I'm going to redo it. You know, I'm not very happy. It's late. I'm tired. So just for fun, on the way back to my office, I look again. I look every desktop, anywhere this could be, in the top of file cabinets, down the aisle, in the break room, all the way to my office, back on my desk, and I sit down at my desk, and I pull up the Word, you know, on the computer, and I make this document. I redo it. You know, it was already in the computer. It wasn't that big of a deal because I had made it. I just brought it up again, printed it again, got up, walked down the aisle, you know, all the way up to the front office where the machine is, and wouldn't you know it, right there under the machine, on the floor, was my document laying there, neat as could be. There's no way it could have been missed by the three trips I made up there. There was nothing obscuring the area. It was wide open. That document was there, neat as a pin, and it had reappeared. So whatever it was, you know, was messing with me and hid this document, hid this piece of paper, wasted my time. And I felt kind of angry because I just knew somebody was laughing at me somewhere. And so I had two documents. And I picked it up, put it in the machine, and sealed it. And, you know, brought it back to my desk and hung it where it goes. And, you know, that was about, I would say, 10 years ago. It's still hanging, and every time I see it, I think about that. And every time I see it, I get the feeling that somebody's laughing at me. So there you have it. And I got a couple more. I sent you one about some fire extinguishers. I never heard it read. I may, you know, I'm kind of technically challenged. Maybe you read it, maybe you don't. I'll call it in again sometime. But there you have it. Have a good evening. Enjoy your show. Take care. Bye.
You know, I hate to say this, but if you can choose the type of ghost you want to be and the abilities that you're able to have, I would be that type of ghost. I would be the ghost that would be doing things like that just for fun. Nothing harmful, nothing that's going to hurt anyone or cause, you know, pain or malice or anything. Just, you know, fun little things that make people call into ghost shows going, and then it disappeared. I don't know what, went back, did it again. You know, that's what I would do. That's just me, though. 855-853-4802. Our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've called in before, and I was calling today. I actually was planning to call with a Christmas story. And I also was reminded of another not as happy story when you all were talking on the show that I listened to this morning about the unusual knocking coming from the wall, both from a caller and also Tony that had an experience with that. And it reminded me of a time, and I'd actually never thought of this as possibly supernatural before, and I still don't know if it was supernatural or if it was something that was in my head because I was very depressed at the time. I was a recent college graduate, and I was enrolled in a program. I won't say what it's called, but probably a lot of people are aware of it, but it's kind of a Peace Corps for the U.S. where they send college graduates into low-income school districts and have essentially people who did well in school but didn't actually study education go in and teach in really, really difficult situations. after going through it, I realized that I don't agree with the program and feel like it should be people who are really well-educated in education, since I was not at all prepared for the difficulties that I would encounter. So in addition to being a teacher who wasn't trained in teaching and being in a difficult school district, it was also an incredibly rural place. It was a border town in Texas with about 2,000 people, and I was one of the only white people and English speakers for many, many, many miles around. And it was the kind of place where you had to drive about an hour just to get to a grocery store. And I became very lonely and depressed, and I had experienced pretty severe depression and suicide attempts in the past, and started to really isolate myself and felt very depressed. And I lived in a house by myself that wasn't connected to any other houses, was not touched by any trees outside the house, anything like that. And I started to hear knocking from the walls, but it didn't sound like it could be from an animal because it had like a rhythm to it. And in my loneliness, I started kind of tapping back, and it would repeat what I was tapping. And as I became more and more depressed and was laying in my bedroom and trying to decide if I wanted to end my life, I did start to think that it was, you know, some kind of spirit or something sent there to, you know, either guide me away from the darkness or drive me into it. And I recall, you know, saying things like, knock four times if I should do it, and it would. And we did try to kill myself, it was a really dark time. I of course, made it through. It just happened to be right after I took the medication. One of the people who come to the door with the Church of Latter-day Saints literature walked by and actually saw me fall and called 911. Otherwise, it might have been successful. But I will always remember that, and it really didn't feel at the time like it was in my head. But I do, you know, I do leave space for mental illness, and perhaps that was just something I was hearing because I was feeling so incredibly bad. Here is a little Christmas tale that is a little bit happier for the happier time of my life. When I was a younger child, I was a child actress, and I was in a lot of plays and productions around childhood professional theater when they needed child actors. And perhaps 20 you're familiar with the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee. It's this really, really beautiful old theater in Milwaukee. And they have a Christmas Carol every year, and I was in it for a number of years playing different child characters. And I remember the first year I was in it, I started asking some of the actors that were in the different scenes with me that kind of also acted as caretakers for the kids of the show, why I wasn't being introduced to all of the actors. And through, you know, talking with them and looking around and describing, it came to be believed that I was seeing ghosts of past actors. Went through with one of the stage managers, who was an elderly man who had been working there for about 50 years, and he took me back through some of the old books that had pictures of some of the past productions. And there definitely were some familiar faces from some of the actors who were known to be in previous productions of A Christmas Carol, which was really, really neat. And that was when I was a little bit younger. When I was older, I was cast again, of course, like in a different part, and I was quite sad because one of the actors that I had worked with in one of the previous years, who played the character of old Joe, who was very much a mentor to me, a kind and wonderful actor, passed away from AIDS in between 1 year that I was in the production and another year. And on opening night, I felt his presence very, very strongly. A number of the other actors did as well. And although not all of us shared the same religion, we said some prayers beforehand and kind of thanking him for his guidance and telling him that we felt his presence there with us. And as I was in the wings about to go on for my first scene, I saw him across the stage on the other end of the stage on the other wing side, giving me a thumbs up, which was what he always did when our scene went well when we were working together the previous year. So that's my little Christmas Carol story. And yes, I do believe a lot of theaters are haunted because it is truly a labor of love. And I think a place that spirits like to come back to visit. So happy holidays, guys. Thanks. Bye.
That was a very good story. I remember that from around the holidays when she called in, and I really did enjoy that. It's just, I can almost picture her look of surprise when she's innocently asking the other folks who are involved in the production, so why haven't I met these other folks yet? You know, why is there a reason I'm not being introduced? And it's like, well, it could possibly be because they're dead. Just maybe. But that was a very interesting story that we received last year from her. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. Like I said, our number is 855-853-4802. If you want some fresh stories, some brand new ones that you've never heard and you're not an EPP yet, become one. You sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Get access to all those, the huge archive of EPP episodes and the satisfaction of knowing you are keeping this show on the air. Let's get another caller. Hi.
Good evening, Tony and Jenny. This is Jill from Indiana. I was calling again. I've called before. I'm a paranormal investigator. But I'm actually calling with a story that isn't part of investigation. I thought you'd enjoy. I ran into a friend of mine, and she reminded me of it. So this happened a while ago, probably about 4 years ago, maybe. We were at my friend's mother's house. And her kids and my kids are about the same age, so we were swimming in her mother's pool. And I went into her mom's house to use the restroom. And while I was in there, the door didn't quite shut unless you slammed it, and I didn't want to slam it, so I shut it just enough that it would stick shut. And as I went in to use the restroom, somebody ran by and pushed the door open. And then I saw a little boy with blonde hair run by. And I was like, hey, I'm in here. And I got up, and then I did slam the door shut. And so when I got back out to the pool, I was going to chastise my friend's son for, you know, opening the door when someone's in there. He was about 6 or 7 years old at the time, so he knew better. So I got out there to yell at him, and he's in the pool, and there's no way he could have got out, climbed the ladder, and got back in the pool because I was, you know, hot on his tail. So I looked at my friend, and I said, did your boy just come in the house? And she said, no. And I said, okay. So I went back in the house thinking maybe some weird neighbor kid got in the house, searched the house, there's nobody there. Came back out, and she's like, what's up? And I said, I was in the restroom, a little boy just pushed the door in and then ran off, and I thought it was your son. And she's like, weird. And I said, I know you don't believe in this stuff, but has your mom ever mentioned the house being haunted? And she's like, no, not everything is haunted. I said, I know, not everything. I'm just saying, I saw a little boy run through the house, and it couldn't have been anybody else, but whatever, it doesn't matter. So then I ran into my friend again. We met for lunch a couple days later, probably a week later, and she said, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, what? And she said, I was at mom's house, and the kids were getting done swimming, so I was going to fill the bathtub up and throw my youngest in there so he wouldn't smell like chlorine. And I was leaning over to test the water, and I feel two hands on my backside, and they pushed me into the water. I fell completely into the tub and got soaked. And I'm laughing. And she said, oh, no, that's not the best part. I was furious that my son had done this. And I got up, and I heard him run down the hall. So I'm chasing after him to yell at him because I'm soaking wet now. And I get outside, and he's still in the pool with my mom. And I looked at her and said, told you that house is haunted. And she said, right. So I asked my mom about it. And at the time, her mom and dad both still living together in that house. And she asked her mom about it. And her mom said, oh, yeah, that's our little boy ghost. And she said, Jill, I about had a heart attack. My parents don't believe in ghosts. I said, apparently they do. And she says, well, mom's telling me that her dad would sit in his recliner, and if he's sitting in the recliner, he can see the TV, but he can also see down that hallway. And every now and then, he'll see a little boy come out of one room, run down the hall, and then dart into another room. And she said, he sees it all the time, seen the boy once or twice. So I was like, that's great. So then she said, oh no, it gets even better. This boy, apparently dad knows who it is. And I said, really? And she said, well, apparently when my dad was in first or second grade, he couldn't remember. It was a really hot day, and him and one or two other boys, so three or four kids total. It was super hot. They got out for recess at school, and they decided to ditch and go down to the park and go swimming. So they all went down to the creek. I've been to this creek. It's a very wide creek, probably three car lengths across. And he said they were going to go down and jump in and go swimming and then try to race back without getting in trouble, but they were ditching school. The first boy got a running start, jumped way out, and he went underwater, and they were all hooping and hollering because of his great splash, but then he didn't come up, and they were all yelling and yelling, and he finally came out way out, too far for any of them to reach him, and he was coughing and sputtering, and he would bob up and get sucked back down. And bob up and get sucked back down, and he was drowning. And apparently there was a strong undercurrent right at the area where they jumped in. And she said, Dad was telling them that they were young. They didn't know what to do. They all just freaked out, yelling at him to swim back to shore. One of them tried to reach him, but then the undercurrent started to pull him out. They couldn't reach him. And he ended up just drowning right there in front of him. And so her father thinks that this little boy ghost is his friend that drowned when they were young, and that he's just waiting for him to come join him. And she says he's not scared of him. He's pretty sure that's his buddy. And she says it's in every house they move to, and they don't really worry about it. Well, after that, a few years after that, her dad did pass away from cancer. And I think it was a year or two after that when her mom was moving out of that house. And I asked my friend, I said, out of curiosity, is the little boy ghost still in this house? And she said, oh, no, the day dad died, mom said she never saw him again. And so she figures they left together. So I thought that was really cool. But that's my child ghost story. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's one of those stories where it's just, okay, it all really makes sense. There's not a whole lot of question that you have after hearing a story like that. It all just, it fits in, which is rare on this show. So many times we have stories and you're like, well, what about this? What about that? That one you just kind of walk away from going, yeah, that is exactly what it was. Thank you again for calling in. The phone number is 855-853-4802. If you like the show, please support it. Help keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person if you would. And we thank you greatly in advance. Without that support that we've been getting throughout the year from our existing EPPs, the show would never have made it this far. But as it grows and expands, we need more of you to help us continue to support the show, because the more people that listen, the more expensive it gets to put it out there with bandwidth and such. So please, please help us out. Please help keep our show going. You can sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.